This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأولين والآخرين وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وارض اللهم عنا معهم أجمعين اللهم أمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam Very glad to be with you, and inshallah, we have a problem. Speaking about this topic in 2 hours wouldn't ever do justice. What I'm going to do is sharing with you part of a whole complete one day of part one workshop. So you can imagine the difficulties that I'm facing today to give you whatever I can, inshallah, so that you can understand this subject properly, and you can be able from now on, inshallah, to equip yourself with the necessary knowledge, the necessary tools, so that you can help those whom maybe have been inflicted with this problem, pornography addiction. First of all, we are not talking about those people who are actually having fun watching it. There's a difference between someone who's enjoying it and someone who's actually watching it, but he don't want to watch it. You understand what I mean? There are some people who are enjoying it. They just go from time to time having fun and watch porn and watch images here and there. But there are some other people who do not want to watch at all. They are actually, deep inside, they are very hurt. Because especially we are Muslims, so sometimes it's like, you know, a snatch of identity. Like, within myself, or that person, two persons. One is, can we, this one is bothering my eyes. This is a flash coming in my eyes. So, within oneself, those who are addicted, one person is telling you, don't watch, it's haram. Don't you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said? And the other person is saying what? Watch anyway. It's a snatch of identity. I wanted to remind you that just because you have attended this workshop doesn't mean that you have anything to do with pornography. We want to just make clear, because there are many people who are afraid to attend such gathering because the people would be thinking, oh, you attended a workshop on pornography or a lecture on pornography, that means, you are having... No, we don't want to have these kind of assumptions. Maybe you have actually some friends who have revealed to you the secret. Maybe your spouses, maybe your children, maybe you're preparing yourself how to protect your family in the future. So we don't want to have any assumption. But we don't want to fool ourselves as well. And we cannot fool ourselves and say that, mashallah, all of us are good. Yeah, this has been a big problem in our society, and we have to face it. I have been speaking about this briefly in different countries, and mostly in Muslim countries. Like in Malaysia, I have delivered one part one workshop in UTP in I don't remember where was.
Trono.
Huh?
Trono.
Trono or Petrona?
Petronas. Yeah.
Petronas, yeah. I don't know. And it has been, alhamdulillah, very successful. I delivered part of this workshop in Pakistan, and it was amazing. But every time I speak about it, some people will come and whisper in my ears and tell me, what? Brother, we are so conservative. Don't talk about it. And I don't understand the logic, because if we have a problem and we don't speak about it, then how are we expecting to solve it, right? So we need to speak about it, inshallah. Okay, let me briefly, inshallah, because we have 2 hours only. The ground rules, please silence your phones. Very important. Number two, ask any question while I'm talking. And there will be no specific time for Q&A. So whenever you need to ask a question, raise up your hand. Interrupt me and raise up your hand. So I will be going, inshallah, through the topic one by one. But if you need to ask in the middle, you can raise up your hand, inshallah. Make notes, make a lot of notes. Alright, so what is the outline? Let me explain to you the outline, and hopefully we can cover all these points. So number one, I will start with some introduction, shocking statistics, so that you can also understand the danger of pornography. I will also speak about why pornography is addictive. There are some people who are arguing, is it really addictive? Can we really label pornography as one of those substances that really can cause addiction? And do we know what it means to be an addicted to something? We'll discuss about this. I will relate to you two cases that I have myself coached. And alhamdulillah, they were very successful. But at the same time, with negative consequences, with negative results. So we will talk about these study cases as well. We will talk about how to identify an addict. How to identify pornography addict. Now, this is one of the most difficult, most challenging part, because you may identify someone who's addicted to heroin or cocaine. It's very easy, right? Because it will affect on his health. He will start losing weight. His eyes will turn into black. He will start stealing. He may kill for drugs, right? But how can you identify pornography addict? And how can you walk down the streets and see someone walk and say, oh, you know? You can't. It's very difficult. But there are some indications. We're going to speak about it as well. The science behind addiction. How addiction really works. How it works. And message to caretakers, to educators, to religious leaders, to parents. And we'll talk about the painful cycle that any pornography addict go through. There is a cycle, you know. You know, the in the lab, they bring the rat, yeah? If they want to make any discovery or something, they will put the rat in a maze, right? And at the end of the maze, there is a cheese, a reward. So the rat will go through the maze until he reaches the cheese, and then he will eat. Then automatically, he will go back. And after a while, he will go through the cycle again to find the reward, to find the cheese. And so on and so forth. This is the power of habit. We'll talk about the habit later. But there is a difference between habit and addiction. And then, inshallah, we talk about few tips on how to cure pornography addicts. And we'll provide some resources. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help me to go through all these points. If I skip part of the presentations, please forgive me. But inshallah, I promise that if anyone emailed me, you can get the whole PDF file as you please. Pure Minds, that would be the title of our coming website pertaining to this subject. So I want you to hashtag, inshallah, during if you have internet connections, if you want to hashtag your friend, use this hashtag, tag your friends, some quotes, some information that you will learn today, inshallah. And this is also going to be my title for my workbook. So I'm working now on a workbook to help those people who are shy to speak about their addiction. You know, this is one of the most painful secrets that anyone can keep. No one would go to his mother and say, "Hey mom, by the way, I'm an addicted to porn." So, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. You may go to someone and tell him, "I'm addicted to drugs," but to porn, it's very shameful. So this workbook will serve as his, you know, buddy, his friend. It includes a lot of exercises that I have collected in the past. So, inshallah, use that hashtag. And once the book is out, inshallah, we will inform you. All right. The battle of pornography is one of the most difficult battles. But there is no hope. There is no hope, my brothers and sisters, in the revival of this ummah, in the revival of the Muslims, without winning this battle. There is no way to give up. If you gave up, I want you to remember that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said that a person will be resurrected on the day of judgment doing the same thing at the last moment of his life. So whatever you have done at your very last moment of your life, that's the scene that you will be resurrected with on the day of judgment. Imagine you died while watching pornography, wala ya'adhu billah. Imagine you're holding the remote and you are switching into porn and the angel of death came. Boom, you died. How will you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment? You will meet Him watching porn, wala ya'adhu billah. So this quote, I'm putting it for people to motivate. It's not, you know, winning isn't everything. It is the only thing. So when it comes to battling pornography, we have no way but winning, inshallah. Alright. This is one of the things that Muslims say, or religious people say. It's better than zina. Right? It's better than zina. And some people would say that how could Muslims or Christians or religious people watch porn? They are already motivated by God. They are motivated by the religious scriptures. So how could they actually access pornography? I would argue and say that actually most people who are watching porn today are religious groups. Most of them. Why? Because they are always having this concept of the lesser of two evils. It's better than the actual zina. They fail to realize that the end result of watching porn is zina. This is what the people fail to realize, that you will reach the point, those who are addicted to porn, those who are watching year after year, month after month, they will reach to the point that they are fed up with what they are watching and they want to escalate. They want to escalate and go higher and higher. And the end result will be what? The actual zina, wal a'yadu billah. So be careful. Now let's read the statistics. I'm not going to comment on each statistic, but I want you to understand what is happening. Child pornography has become a $3 billion annual industry. $3 billion, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Child pornography. More than 20,000 images of child pornography are posted on the internet every single week. These children could be our brothers and sisters, by the way. And these children, who knows? One day, they would be victims to pornography. An estimated 325,000 U.S. children, age 17 or younger, are prostitute, excuse me, performance in pornographic videos. How many? 325,000. That's in the U.S. alone. I haven't done yet statistics for Malaysians. 30% of teenage girls have been sexually harassed in a chat room. Only 7%, however, told their mothers or fathers about the harassment. And this is what I have been mentioning earlier, that it is too painful for anyone to reveal a secret like that. Very, very painful. So they will keep it secret. 65% of high school students admit unsafe, inappropriate, or illegal activities online. 70% of porn sites visitors indicated that they keep their online use a secret. Now imagine, my brothers and sisters, if we have a plague in Malaysia, or may Allah save us all, may Allah save this country. But imagine if there is a plague, or if there is a disease that's spread around, and 70% of the people were infected, yet they haven't told anyone. What would happen? What would be the end result? A disaster, right? They will either die at the end, or they will infect more people. And this is the case with pornography. 70% of the people, of the users of pornography, they do not reveal their secrets to anyone. More than 80% of women who suffer with this addiction take it offline. Now, this is very scary, because when I was studying about pornography addiction, I didn't even thought for a minute that girls would be involved in watching porn. They say what? Porn is a guy thing. But it turns out that even the sisters are even involved in this, and there are chances for them to take the activities offline. Al-Ayyadu Billah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save our sisters. The top 20 adults websites have over 4 million individual users each month. How many? How many, brothers? 4 million individual users each month. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. 62% of parents of teenagers are unaware that their children have accessed objectionable websites. Now, these are the statistics, the scary statistics that I want you to realize. Now, who you are versus where you are is the point that I mentioned earlier, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with that innate inclination towards goodness. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for all humankind, to do what is right, to do what is good. That is what we call in Arabic fitra, right? So there is a difference between who you are and where you are. Who you are a Muslim. You are a person who knows that what you've been doing or what other people were doing is haram. You know, that's your fitra. That's the shame, the guilt that people feel when they watch these things. That's who you are. But where you are is a different thing. You know, they call it schizophrenia, is it? Like having double personalities, right? So, those who are addicted, your addiction is not you. Your addiction, my brothers and sisters, is not you. You are addicted with a very, very powerful brain disease. I will repeat that again. You are addicted. I'm not talking to you, by the way. When I use you, I don't mean you, because the people are feeling like I'm talking to them personally. I'm talking to anyone, all right? Even to myself. When you are addicted, wal-ayadu billah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all, ameen, from this evil. When you are addicted, that's not who you are. Your addiction isn't you. You have been suffering from a brain disease, as we will talk about the science behind it, inshallah. What is the definition of pornography? Anyone can tell me? What does it mean? Anyone? No one does a research? Okay. Pornography means female captive, prostitute. That's the definition of the word porne. And porneia means fornication, whoredom, sexual immorality. Just by describing the definition, it should have nothing to do with Muslims, right? And we know that fornication is haram. We know prostitution is haram. But imagine with me, if a man came to me and told me, brother, I'm addicted to porn. And then I told him, brother, it's haram. Will that help the brother in any way? Okay, if I told him it's haram 3 times, haram, 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 what will happen? Will he become better? Okay, if I took a gun called the haram gun and I start shooting him, haram, haram, huh? What will happen? Nothing. Nothing will happen. So repeating the words haram for people who are addicted to porn wouldn't ever help them. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, one day a man came to him, one of the companions, and he told him, allow me to commit adultery. Right? You remember this hadith? Now imagine if someone went to the sheikh or the imam here in a masjid in Malaysia, and he went to the sheikh, excuse me, can I please have adultery today? Please, can you give me just a permission? Can you tell me I'm okay, I'm allowed to commit adultery? What will happen to him here in Malaysia? I asked this question in Pakistan and the answers are amazing. My brother and sister watching online from Pakistan, they will recognize what I said. What will happen to that person here in Malaysia? Huh? Anyone can give me a guess? If a person entered the masjid, went to the imam, I want to commit adultery. What will happen? He will be? What was it? Given to authority. They will hand him over to the authority. Allahu Akbar. This is a new answer, mashallah. Anyone wants to give more answers? Huh? Okay, that's enough authority. You see, this happened during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the man told him, "Allow me to commit adultery." Did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him haram? Did the word ever mentioned during this narration? Nothing. He told him, "Atardahu li ummik." Do you accept this to happen to your mother? Say no. To your sister? No. To your daughter? No. To your aunt? No. He reasoned with him. He said, so other people too don't like this to happen to their mothers, to their sisters, to their daughters, and to their aunts. But the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ did something extra. He placed his hand over the man's chest and he said, "Oh Allah, pull out from the heart of this man the love of woman," meaning the love of haram woman. SubhanAllah. So those people who, inshallah, are interested to learn how to deal with pornography addicts and how to cure them, if you contacted me, inshallah, interested to learn the art of dealing with those people, you have to understand that the word haram should not occur in your dictionary. This number one. Very, very important. Because they know it's haram. They know it's haram. What do they need is someone to facilitate for them the way of halal. Instead of telling them haram, haram, haram. Alright, why pornography is addictive? And this I will teach you, inshallah, briefly 4 points. I call it the 4 A's of the internet. Why internet in general is addictive? Because pornography is not the only thing on the internet that's actually addictive. We have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have YouTube, we have gamings. All these elements are addictive if we do not use them in the proper way. So number one is accessibility. I remember when I was in the dark days, we used to have VHS of these stuff, of pornography, VHS. And we used to exchange these stuff in the school and so on and so forth. Now, in order for you to watch a movie on VHS in your home, that's a drama. Right? To take such a tape into your house, that again, that would cost us time to plan. How are we going to enter? Where we will hide it in the house? When we will watch it? So it would take us time. So I would put it under my pants and I would be entering, you know, the house, assalamu alaikum and all that. I will go to the bathroom, find a place to hide it. You see, it's difficult. And when I get the chance to play the movie, I would be playing it one eye on TV and one eye on the door. Right? So it was not really enjoyable. Yeah? And that's why back then it was not that addictive, because it was not as accessible as today. Today, your child, your brother, your husband, your wife may just hold her cell phone on the bed, watching inappropriate images, inappropriate movies, while you have no idea, no clue what she's doing. Accessibility makes pornography and makes the internet as, in general, addictive. Number two, affordability. It's absolutely free now. We cannot even say how much does it cost. You can get high definition videos, wal'ayadu billah, for no cost whatsoever. So the affordability. Earlier we used to buy the tapes, we used to buy the magazines, we used to rent them. So it involves money. So those who doesn't have money, they have no access. Now it's absolutely free. Anonymous. It's done and nobody knows that you're doing it, and you know, you have that free time, you're staying hours after hours, so it's anonymous. That makes it addictive. And number four is aggressive. Pornography does not rely on the action scene that you see on these movies, wal'ayadu billah. They don't rely on this anymore. They don't want to bring two couples to have intimacy together. That's not what makes the industry successful. What they rely on in most cases is intensity.
They wanted to do something abnormal. They wanted to excite the people so that they can come again and again, again and again. And that's the danger, because it doesn't happen in real life. What we see in these scenes, wal'ayadu billah, never happen in real life. It's scripted. They will stop several times to change many, many angles of the camera so that you, back home, sitting behind the screen, enjoy. That's what their job. And that's the danger of watching imaginary stories, even imaginary movies, imaginary TV series. Let us show by show of hands, without bringing the camera on the audience, brother. How many of us here watching TV series? Be honest, huh? Don't lie. You lie, you go where? Okay. Movies. General movies. Okay, mashallah. You see, this is the problem. All these movies are based on imaginary, based on the imagination of the author. And what will happen, these movies, when the more you watch, the more you live in a different world that doesn't exist. It isolates you from reality, and it makes you dive into imaginary world that you wanted actually to live. You wanted to practice what is on TV. You wanted the boy to marry the girl, even though their parents are against the marriage. And that's why in the olden movies, I remember, we used to watch, and we would be sitting watching the girl wanted to run away from her home, from her parents' home, and her boyfriend is waiting for her outside. And all the family members are sitting, Muslims like you, like me, they are sitting watching the girl and making dua for her. Oh Allah, please, let her take the key and run away with her boyfriend. Ya Allah, please, don't let the father wake up. That's what the movies are making us to believe. They twist our beliefs, our values. They introduce to us different values. So be careful. I'll tell you a story, but don't tell anyone. I was a big fan of watching Indian movies in the past. I was crazy about them. And one of those movies was called Mard, M-A-R-D. That was the name of the boy in the movie. So the movie started by showing the father of Amitabh Bachchan. That was the actor, Amitabh Bachchan, but he was an infant. So the father is holding the infant, and the British soldiers are coming to attack this village. So in order for the father to protect his son, he wanted to make a sign or something, so that after fighting, he find the boy. So he could have done many, many things. Yeah, he had so many options. He could have put a ribbon around the father's the son's wrist or neck, right? Easy. Or a pen, a marker, my son, whatever. He could have done anything easy that comes to mind. No. India movie makes you think big. So he took a knife. He took a knife from his side and he started writing on the baby's chest, Mard. And the blood started coming out. He's an infant. Who would ever do that in the world? Indian movies makes you believe that. Indian movies actually makes you believe that if you jump off a mountain, it's okay. It's all right. Because there is a horse waiting for you down there. No problem. So... So after he wrote on his chest with the knife and the blood came out, he threw the boy in the river and the river washed him away. And far, far away in the river, there is a blind lady waiting there, washing her garments. And miraculously, the boy touched her hand, she took him out, she bring him up, and he became Amitabh Bachchan. But guess what? The writing, still there, after 30 years. But it becomes metal now. If you see it, it's metal, not blood anymore. India movies makes you, enrich your imagination. Now the problem is, one night I woke up and I went to the bathroom. I was young. And I started searching in my father's stuff. And I took his razor, he used to shave. And I took out the blade, that little blade in the razor. And I start writing on my chest, Mard. Yeah, I did it. That's why I told you don't tell anyone. Especially Mufti Ming. But this is what these movies does. It create a different imaginary world, and pornography is no difference. It makes a husband less interested or lose interest completely in his lawful wife. Because what he sees on camera is different. Because what he failed to realize is that these actors and actresses are perfectly selected with different, with actual criteria. With very, very, specific criteria. So maybe your wife is not that slim. Maybe your husband is not that strong. So when you see this, you start comparing between the haram, pornography, and the halal, the lawful wife, the lawful husband. And as a result, the entire relationship will be destroyed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Ameen. Okay, so here are two cases. The first case is J. Of course, these are not the real names. And Mark. Okay, Jay is an 18 years old boy who came to me once and he said that he wanted to commit suicide. Why? Because he's been watching porn for 7 years, 7 complete years. He's an 18 years old and he's been watching porn for 7 years. And in the past 3 years, he's been watching porn every single day for 5 hours. Now that's a very deep level of addiction. We worked with him for about 18 months or 17 months and we tried all the tips of cure or recovery plans that we have learned, that I have learned. I tried everything with him and I failed miserably. And he could not cope with the challenges of these I call it the curing kits. With the exception of one tip, which we told him, are you ready to give up your internet? He said, yes. Your cell phone, yes. Your Facebook, yes. So he handed over to me his cell phone. Until now, it's in my office. And within 6 months, he was, alhamdulillah, fully recovered. But the negative result was, he's suffering today, until today, from erectile dysfunction. Yeah. Because of, when people watch these things, they started to pleasure themselves. They wanted to pleasure themselves. So in doing so, they hurt themselves without even realizing. So he had reached the point 5 hours daily for 3 years. So he damages his private part. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save him. Mark is another person who had been hooked on pornography for 43 years. How? How in the world? When he came to me and he told me I'm addicted for 43 years, I didn't believe him because I know that 43 years, pornography was not as intensive as today. It was not that accessible also. He said, no, I am a photographer. I used to take pictures, and one of his friends introduced him to the evil idea, wal'ayadu billah, of taking pictures from far distance to people who are changing their clothes in the neighborhood. And he started taking these pictures, printing it out, and enjoying himself. When he got married, and the internet came in the 90s, his addiction became even severer. Now, this is the point that I wanted to mention, that marriage does not solve the problem of addiction. And this is one of the misconceptions. People think that, okay, it's okay, I'm still young. Once I get married, I will stop, for sure. Because I have a husband now, I can do this in real life. This is a big misconception. You are addicted, you are not doing it out of enjoyment. You are addicted to it. It will pull you back anyway. You will enjoy your wife or your husband for a couple of months, and then the brain will ask you to go back to this pornography. So marriage is not the solution. It can solve part of it, but it's not the whole solution for pornography addicts. So this guy, he came to me and he said that once he was watching porn, walayadu billah, and his daughter entered. And she caught him in the action. And he froze, and she froze, and she started crying, and she told him, don't you love mom? The mom enters, she saw what he was doing, and she took her daughter, and she left. And until now, they haven't, got in contact anymore. They separated for 3 or 4 years now. Yes, sister?
You're saying that marriage will not stop the addiction. So what are you actually addicted to? To the pleasure of
okay, I'm coming to this, but good that you have asked now, because if we don't have enough time to cover it, then I have covered it now, okay? So, the sister say, you said that marriage doesn't solve the solution, so what are you addicted to, actually, the pleasure? You are addicted because there is some hormones in the brain, called dopamine. Dopamine is actually responsible for your pleasure, you're responsible for your happiness. It is the chemical reactions that take place whenever you want to have something that you like. For example, if you like certain type of food or sugar, there is a pathway that is created in your brain for sugar. If you like music and you keep on listening to music, there is a pathway that is created in your brain for music. And if you are hooked on porn, there is a pathway in your brain created for porn. Every time you wanted to watch porn, that hormone will be produced. Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made this
hormones for our pleasure with our lawful wives, with our lawful husband. So when we are having this real intimacy, real relationship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produces these hormones in a very well calculated quantity. But once you are having no partner and you're trying to pleasure yourself alone, the brain gets confused. So what happened? This dopamine is produced in a very large, massive quantity. Once you get the pleasure, after a few days you wanted the pleasure again, the dopamine would be produced in a larger quantity, in a larger quantity. So you don't have enough of pleasure anymore. That's why I said, even if you get married, you will never be pleased with your wife. You will never be pleased with your husband so long as you are hooked on porn. That's the addiction system. So that's why those who are addicted that I talk to, they would prefer to watch porn over having the actual intimacy with their wives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So here, two cases. Both of them have quit pornography. Both of them, alhamdulillah. But both of them have suffered a very severe consequences. One have suffered his manhood. He might not marry anymore because of this erectile dysfunction. The second is he lost his family. And he's begging them to go back. And the wife feels that she was betrayed, she was cheated for all these years. Okay, how to identify porn addicts? Supposedly you have a brother, you have a sister, you have a husband, you have a wife, you have parents, you have friends whom you live with. How can we identify? Here are a few indications. These are not like necessary established fact that if someone is doing what I'm doing now, that means he's addicted, okay? These are just indications, probabilities. Because as I said, it's one of the most difficult thing to identify is pornography addict. It's not easy. Because there is no symptoms, right? Like hard drugs addicts, there is no symptoms. So number one is isolation. If your brother, sister or whatever wanted to stay alone all the time, locking the door, staying there for hours, you call them for food, you call them for dinner, they say later. Yeah? This is an indication that a person might be hooked on porn. Number two, sleeplessness. Someone who is supposed to sleep early to wake up for Fajr, or to sleep early to wake up for school, but he will wake up exhausted because he's been, you know, spending hours all night watching porn, so he don't have enough sleep. This is again another indication. Number three, net all night. You can see that he's watching, but the computer is facing him. And this we'll talk about these tips, how to protect our children, our loved ones from getting hooked on porn by taking the computers outside of the bedroom. The bedroom, I remember my father, when I was talking to my brother in bedroom, just talking to him, you know, before bedtime or, you know, during, while we are preparing to sleep, my father will shout and say what? Bed is for sleep only. Now, what do we do on bed nowadays? We do everything on bed. We talk on bed, we browse our Facebook, we update our Twitter and all that, all on in the bedroom. So inshallah we will learn how to protect our children later on. So net all night is an indication that that person is browsing pornography. History is deleted. Now if you can access a computer of someone in your home and you have noticed that every few days the history of the computer is being deleted, this is actually a very high indication that that person is using porn. Very high. Because otherwise, why are you deleting it? Yes, sister.
Isn't that kind of spying? And when they get mad, if they realize that you invaded
their privacy? Yeah, the sister now is asking me a fatwa question. I will ask Mufti Mink about that. But I'm saying spying and all that. I mean, if you have noticed that there are some problems within your home, your brother is not performing well in school, he's staying up all night and all that, and you wanted to protect him, you don't want to invade his privacy, you're only checking the history, for example, then I don't believe that this goes in the category of spying. Spying means that you're actually invading his files and getting to know what he's doing and chatting history. No. We wanted to know if he deleted the history tonight or not. If he did, there is an indication that he might have been watching porn all night. Otherwise, why will he delete the history of his computer? violent behavior. This is between husband and wife during intimacy, because as I said earlier, pornography is a system that twists your belief about the actual relationship between husband and wife. It twists it. It teaches you to beat your wife during intimacy. That's what they teach. It teaches you to perform certain acts which are undesirable and sometimes are haram. But the husbands, because they watch these things for many, many years, they actually believe that this is what can make their wives happy during the intimacy. So violent behavior. If the husband started to beat the wife or to act as they do in the movies, that means he had learned these things from the movies. Number five, loss of interest, as I said earlier. Loss of interest of sharing bed with his wife. Months will go by and the husband is not even interested to have any intimacy with his wife. Okay, this is the scientific fact that I have mentioned earlier, but we will go through it very, very quickly. As I said earlier, there are pathways for everything that interests us in life in our brain. And it is called actually the reward pathway. And the only thing that can actually help you to get rid of your addiction in most cases is to disturb your brain system. Meaning that if you are sleeping past midnight, of course all of us, mashallah, sleep early after Aisha, right? Alhamdulillah. So if you are sleeping past midnight, 1, 2 a.m., and you wanted to disturb the system, you wanted to introduce a healthy habit to replace that bad one, then a new pathway will be created. So in order for you to change your habit, because most people, most internet users, most pornography users, they actually access internet past midnight because they don't want anyone to notice them. So if you want to disturb your system, and the dopamine is normally produced during that specific time. He got used to it. Oh, that's necessary for your survival. So the dopamine would be produced during that time so that you can get up and watch porn all night. And when Fajr comes, you hear the adhan, you can't pray. Can you? Who would pray? Who would pray while watching all these things for hours, right? So that's the compulsive nature of addiction. But if you slept early now, your system will get disturbed. The dopamine will not be produced at that particular time. Or if it would be produced, you are sleeping. So there will be chances for you to get rid of it, inshallah. Now we have some messages for certain people. We have messages for parents, messages for educators, and messages for, we said parents, educators, and religious leaders. So number one, first before we get into that, there is a lady by the name of April Garris. She's a counselor of ex-porn stars. So those actresses who have quit porn, they will go to her for counseling because they have been suffering a lot of trauma due to the drugs that they are taking. This is what we don't know behind the scene. What we don't know is that these actresses are not actually happy, are not actually pleased with what's happening. You can hear their voices and all that and you think that, wow, that is the real intimacy. That's the real relationship. In fact, if you read books like the book of Shelley Loban, The Fantasy of Pornography. If you read that book, she will explain. She actually had exposed the filthy industry of porn. You will realize that they are always on drugs, that they are always being beaten up, and they are not happy. There is a girl who was actually, she signed a contract for about $10,000 per scene. $10,000 just one scene. She's an actress. After one scene, she said, no, I quit. I can't take it. They said, no, honey, cannot go back. You have a contract that if you canceled it before 10 years, you have to pay us for $1 million. And she was hooked on this for many, many years until she had actually developed a lot of diseases, sexual diseases. So they go to this April Garris, those who quit porn. She said something very important. She said, in most, every single case, there is some background of child sexual abuse or neglect. So those who are always, either in prostitution, in pornography movies, or those who are even watching porn, there are cases of parents' negligence, in the house. The parents, they give you cell phone, but they don't ask you what you are doing on it. Yeah? They buy for you cell phone, they buy for you internet, they buy for you laptop, and you take them your room, and they are sitting outside watching TV series. They are in different world, and you are in your pornography world.
So that's why we need to go back to these olden days where the parents would be very, very concerned about children's behavior. And they will call them up on the dining table and sit with them and talk to them. And what have you been doing? And what the teacher said. We need to go back to that state, wallahi. Now we became like ghosts in the house. Right? We sit on the dining table together, but everyone has got cell phone and everyone is busy in his world. No, we have to impose some rules within our homes. We have to impose some sharia in our homes. Right? We'll talk about this inshallah later. But this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. Wallahi, very, very important ayah. It says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who caused life to die and give life. And we are writing everything, whatever you have brought forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is writing it. It's recording it. Not only that, وَآثَارَهُمْ, and your influences, whatever you have left behind. The impact that you made on your children. The impact that you made on the society. The sunnah, the good sunnah that you would leave behind, or the bad sunnah that you leave behind. Allah will question you for that. So if you encourage your children to watch, you know, TV series and movies and songs and all these things, you are encouraging them. Actually, you are telling them, go and open the TV. It's the time now, 7 o'clock, please, hurry up. Hurry up, we wanted to know, she married him or no? Yeah, you see, you're living in this world, you're not living in the reality, subhanAllah. So if you have impacted your children with this, you will be questioned about it. And most cases, those who are hooked on pornography are neglected by their parents. Yes, bro.
Usually in conservative families, you find that they don't talk about sex whatsoever. And maybe if you have a brother or a sister and you want to bring it up in the house, how do you break the ice?
Okay.
If you're coming from a very conservative place.
Okay. This is very, I was in Pakistan. Pakistan is a very conservative country. And when I bring this topic on the stage, I was about to be killed. Sorry, Pakistani brother. No, I mean, the people will come and left and right and tell me, hey, we are conservative. Even they changed the title of the talk. It was battling pornography. They say it, lower your gaze. Of course, with respect to their idea, because they think I was delivering to a young kids, actually 5 to 12 years old. So when you deliver to that age, you have to be very careful in terms, right? Because they hear one word, maybe they can go and search it online. And then they will find many of these images. So I understand their point. But the brother say now, within conservative family, how can you bring this subject? The problem that we are facing is, our problem is that we are very naive nowadays. We are very naive. We think that our sister, who is very conservative, doesn't know about pornography. Or doesn't know that there is something existing in this world called pornography. Or that there are some bad scenes in movies here and there. Or that there are bad scenes, you know, even on billboards. We are thinking that all of us are innocent, right or wrong? That's what we think. That time has changed, my brother. The time has changed. My own children knows what's going on in the world because of the influence of the society. They can see people kissing each other on the street where I live. People are kissing each other on the street. How can I, shall I cover my children's eyes and blind them so that they don't see these things? Brother, it's the time for us to bring the subject, but we have to bring it, you know, in a friendly way. We have to talk to our loved ones and tell them, you know what, let us talk to each other instead of sitting hours browsing Facebook and Twitter. Because the end result by watching Facebook is, you remember the guy, the 18 years old boy? His trigger was Facebook. And his trigger was the ads on Facebook. So whenever he see an ad, a beautiful girl doing like this and all that stuff, so he will go and click out of curiosity, right? That's what brings other websites into practice. So you have to make rules. Okay, let me talk about these rules. For example, I will apply in my house that no internet ever will be available in anyone's bedroom. Number one. Number two, all phones, all laptops, all tablets should be surrendered to parents before 9 p.m. before 9 p.m. This is a rule. We have to apply these rules in our home. Mom, please keep your phone. Give it to me tomorrow morning, inshallah. Even if you're not watching. But shaitan is there, is trying to tell you do something. And that's his job. His job is to hook you up. And nudity, filthy movies like this, that's the beginning of the destruction of the Muslims. Because you would be standing saying Allahu Akbar, praying, and all these images are crossing your eyes. You would be praising Allah, but seeing a sexual scene, wal'ayadu billah, in your brain. Because our human camera will register all what we have watched. And that's why lowering the gaze is one of the most profound teaching of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and the Quran. One of the most profound, lowering the gaze. That's why movies and all these things, even if the movies are nice and innocent, they will have to put one scene there. One scene there to entice you, to drag you. Right or wrong? Is there any movie now without a kiss, without a hug, without... All movies are like that. So brother, bring the topic, enforce some rules in your home, and talk about it, but not, you know, don't give tips on how to access these stuff. That's it. Alright. What time now? MashaAllah. We have 45 minutes to wrap up. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Okay, sad reality, negligent parents. We said parents must wake up and must know what their children are doing. They must access their internet, you know, accounts and all that. And they have to check on them. And they have to educate them, the sex education, the proper sex education before it's too late. Before they get this education from porn. Sad reality, ineffective speech. We don't talk about it as religious leaders. Alhamdulillah, nowadays, alhamdulillah. The sheikhs and the speakers, alhamdulillah. I heard Mufti Mink several times bringing the topic in. Brother Nu'man also briefly mentioned it. People are talking. People are realizing that it's important to address it. But not as much as we have, as we should. Sad reality, lack of awareness. And that's why I prefer workshops than a brief lecture. Because during my workshop, I actually select intelligent participants. Those who are serious, those who are making excellent notes, those who really care and planning to do something with this topic in the future. I call those people and I train them on how to coach people who are addicted. And then we raise awareness in universities. We did this, alhamdulillah, in UTP, and it's going very well. I'm coming back again for them in December. Inshallah, I think end of November or December, I don't remember. Because of this long workshop. So we need, inshallah, next time Young Muslim Projects can bring us for a longer workshop, inshallah. This is normally, I do it during the workshop, so we'll skip that, inshallah. Okay, people wanted to know the cycle. You remember the rat and the cheese? I don't want my Muslim brothers to be rats. I don't want the sisters to be rats, running after a piece of cheese every day. Every day, every day. And if we remove the cheese, you will be running towards the place of the cheese every day like a slave. We should be slaves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to our desires. So what is the painful cycle that any pornography addict go through? Number one is the trigger. You remember the trigger that I told you? You watch a scene or movie, you get excited, you start going further and watching pornography. I will tell you one example. In Hong Kong is a very, very clean city. Bright. The city of light. The city of billboards. So one day they were promoting woman's bag. Innocent woman bag. And the billboard was from one platform to another across the street. Huge. Spotlights all over the place. Very bright. And in order for them to promote a woman's bag, they have to bring a woman in it, right? They cannot just put the bag. They must bring a woman in the ad. And of course, to bring a woman in the ad, you have to make her lie down properly on the bed, yeah, and take off some of her clothes. That's how they advertise anything today, exploiting our woman. So take some clothes off, and then she's holding the bag in the corner of the, yeah. So I was walking with my wife in that street, and I couldn't help but look because it was really all over the place. But Islam told us to lower the gaze, so I lowered the gaze. The floor was very bright. And I saw the reflection. Oh, it was there. That could be a trigger. That could be a trigger that would register in people's brain. And as a result, they will go home later on, watch pornography. So the first thing is trigger. Number two, Justification and excuses. You will start talking to yourself. Shall I watch or is it haram? It's haram, but you know, it's better than zina. Reasoning, justification. And then at the end, you will go for the third, which is the activity itself. So you will convince yourself that it is better than zina, better than going to, you know, to a prostitute. I will just watch for a while. Then you go with the activity. And of course, after the activity is the reward, which is the pleasure expected from watching porn. And after that, you feel the guilt and the shame. And you feel that you are so dirty. How could a Muslim praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 5 times a day, how could he reach to this point? So the guilt and the shame is more painful than anything that you can imagine. And then after this, you say, by Allah, from now on, I'm not going to watch. I quit. And this is, in most cases, we call what? False quitting. False quitting. You quit after you just felt the pleasure. It's like smoking the last cigarette. You take it all inside. You feel, you know, that this is the cigarette that you love the most. Okay, the last cigarette. And you keep smoking. This is not quitting. You are fooling yourself. You killed your, already you burn your lungs with that cigarette, and after that you say, okay, I will not smoke again. You have enough already. That's why you feel that you're not going to smoke again. Because you have enough. After 1 hour, you want another cigarette. And that's the same case. You just had the pleasure from porn, and then you say, I quit. After a few days, you go back again. Why you go back again? Because you did not protect your eyes. You did not protect your gaze. And so you saw another trigger. And so you go through the same cycle again and again, and that we call what? Relapse. You relapse. You say, I quit, and then you see a trigger, and then you justify, and then you go ahead with the activity, and then you feel the guilt and the shame, and then you say, I quit, and then you don't protect yourself, you relapse, and so on and so on. And there are some people who are in this cycle for many, many, many years. You cannot imagine. Wallahi, you cannot imagine, my brother and sister. I just told you one person, 43 years, being hooked on porn. Now here, briefly, we'll go through this journey of an addict. First exposure. Yeah? The first exposure, people see something, and from there, the pathway is created. These images will keep on coming, to an extent that you will start looking to a hijabi or a niqabi sister with a bad eye. You will think of them like porn actresses. So these images will keep on coming, objectifying women. And then the result is what? Stress and anxiety. Spending hours. People will be, you know, instead of reading Quran every day for hours, instead of praying tahajjud, they will watch these for hours. Wal'ayadu billah. Most painful secret. Number four, woman as object. Khalas, woman, there's no emotion anymore. You want to marry, but you don't want to marry because of the woman. You want to marry because you wanted to practice what you have seen in these videos. Much time is wasted. The result is what? The health will be decreased. Your health will decrease. Double life, we mentioned this about earlier. Sexual problems, we already mentioned one of the brothers, 18 years old, who cannot function anymore. The values have changed, subhanAllah. The values, the Islamic values will change in your mind, my brothers and sisters. Wallahi, I have seen someone who's very religious. Very, very religious. And he told me, he was arguing with me first. He said, show me any indication from the Quran or from the Sunnah where me and my wife cannot enjoy pornography. Now, what is the story? He came back later on crying, he and his wife. The problem is that he was addicted to porn and his wife didn't know. And then when he was fed up, he told her, listen, I'm watching porn a lot, I want you to help me. She said, okay, no problem, honey. Anytime you want to watch porn, just call me, we watch together. So she became addicted herself. She became addicted later on herself. And so he was arguing with me to justify that this is okay because husband and wife. Husband and wife is like you're seeing people, you know, seeing each other's, seeing people's nakedness. Your wife will be seeing a man's nakedness. You will be seeing woman's nakedness. That's already haram enough. You understand what I mean? So be careful. So all the values will change and you start, you know, making excuse for the wrong. Acceleration.
as I said to the sister earlier who was talking about the addiction, acceleration here is that from soft porn, you will move to hardcore. And from seeing people with bikinis and, no, this doesn't interest you anymore. You want to escalate. You go to hard porn. And sometimes when you watch these hardcore porn frequently, you get fed up, you start watching something weird now. Homosexualities. Bestialities. Yeah. That's the end result. Because the dopamine is giving you more and more quantity that he wanted you to achieve that same pleasure. You will not get it if you watch the same thing. The difference between cocaine and heroin addiction and pornography addiction is, in the case of alcohol and other drugs, you wanted more of the same substance. You wanted more. If you used to drink one bottle of beer, you wanted tomorrow 10. You wanted the same substance, but in larger quantity. In the case of porn, you want the same, but different. You want the fantasy to change. You understand what I mean? And that's the danger of porn. You can't live without it anymore. You reach to the point that, you know, so many times you have quit, so many times you made promises to Allah that you never go back. You have realized now that you cannot live without it. Risky behavior. I'll tell you another case study. A friend of mine who was addicted to porn, he didn't tell me back then. He didn't tell me. I knew after he was out of jail. But earlier, he used to watch heavy porn, and then it took him to what? I'm not happy with porn anymore. I wanted to go outside and, you know, to prostitute, to massages, and so on and so forth. And he went, and he enjoyed himself. Not only that, but one day he found a lady walking down the street. He said, hi, where do you live? Here, can we have some time to talk a little bit? And she took him to her home, and when he went there, he closed the door, and he was about to rape her. And when she screamed, he ran away. He left that country, he went to another country, and in that second country, he did the same. And he was caught this time, and he was jailed. Why? Because of pornography. So pornography is not, it's not like, you know, something that will remain forever in the same way. Sitting in front of the computer in the comfort zone doing this, it will escalate. It will escalate, and it will lead you to the actual zina, and it could, end up being in jail as well as this friend. You try to quit, but you can't anymore. You lose your job, you lose your studies, you lose your wife, you lose your husband, loss after loss. That's all what can pornography do. You get caught. That's the most terrifying thing. Your mom saw you, your dad saw you, your wife saw you, your husband saw you. That's the most damaging thing that anyone can face. You need help. Finally, you realize, now I need help. Okay, now alhamdulillah, it's 9:30 now. Okay, so we will talk about the curing kits that I have prepared for you. But please note that not all the curing or the recovery plans, they call it, they are not applicable to everyone. What works with someone may not work with another person. And that's why personal one-on-one coaching is very healthy. So when you speak to an expert about this matter, he will ask you several questions, and based on your answers, based on your honest answers, he will give you the best recovery plan. But the recovery points that I wanted to mention are essential also, are very, very important. It may work with everyone, but it may not work with others. So they are not. We don't have like a, what we call a microwaved recovery plan. You know what I mean? Like a fast food. Okay, you have a pornography problem, here is a sandwich for you. Or here is a pill for you. We don't have that. Okay, the curing kit, the essential 10. So here are 10 points for curing pornography. Number one, seeking Allah's help. I have read so many books on the subject, I didn't find this point. But I believe that this is the most important point for Muslims to consider. Dua, hysterical dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure you from this addiction and to bring you a healthy life, inshallah. Number two, this again, I read many books, all the books, every single book I have read about this subject said, you have to tell someone. You cannot go about the journey of recovery by yourself. You cannot. It doesn't work. You have to remember this. But you have to be also very careful as to whom are you going to relate this to. So if you are a sister and you want to reveal this to your husband, be very, very careful, because husbands are very jealous. Once you tell them something like that, it might end up in a very bad way, divorce or something like that, or loss of trust. So instead, maybe you can tell your sister or your sister-in-law, anyone whom you trust. Don't tell anyone who will take your secrets on Facebook. Yes. So tell someone whom you trust, someone who will be interested to help you out, who will encourage you, who will send you messages of motivations, who will call you up and tell you, let's go for a walk. Someone really, a good friend whom you trust. Number three, eliminate all pornographic images from your home. Whatever, like, you know, movies, these are also pornographic. Even the movies that you're watching, the TV series, they are also pornographic. And as I said, one trigger is sufficient to take you to hardcore porn. One trigger, one kiss, one hug, one girl wearing inappropriate clothes. So eliminate all these things from your life. And make it a policy. Make it a rule in your home that these things, we're not going to watch it anymore. When I ask you how many people are watching TV series and movies, mashallah, majority raised up their hands. Now it's the time to make some changes, inshallah. Number four, divide your goals into small goals. Now, don't ever say, from now on, no porn. This will not work. This will never work. But instead, you say, okay, today is Friday, inshallah, there will be no porn in my life from Friday to Sunday. That's my goal. So you can see Sunday. It's very, very measurable. It's achievable. You can see it. And once Sunday comes, you say, okay, inshallah, I did it for 3 days, inshallah, from Sunday until tomorrow, no porn. So divide your goal into small goals. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, by Sunday night, you're very happy. Tomorrow is porn. You should divide your goals so that you can continue doing that. You continue to quit. Don't make a celebration. Hey, alhamdulillah. Okay. Number five, don't punish yourself when you fall. Because you will. You will relapse a couple of times. But don't give up. And don't say, oh, there's nothing works with me. Yeah? So when you fall, when you relapse, stand up again and continue with the plan. It's like you were walking in the streets and what happened? You fell down. What will you do? You will remain there? Oh, I fell down. I look so bad. People are seeing me. Oh, everybody's looking at me. Okay, so what? Stand up and continue the journey. Go back home. Fix your pants. Do anything. Right? But don't stay there. Don't just sit there and crying over your condition. Stand up and continue with the plan. Number six, develop new habits. This is one of the most important points if you wish to break free from pornography, is to develop new healthy habits. And the best way is to insert or to introduce to your brain these habits at the same time where you normally watch porn. So if you're watching porn midnight and you can't sleep, actually, you should be sleeping by then. But in case you cannot sleep, you have to do something else other than porn at that very time. You understand, my brother and sister? You have to introduce to your brain a new healthy habit. Number seven, be honest in seeking the cure. There are many people who will talk to me and wanted to quit porn, and I will give them so many, you know, recovery plans. And they will call me and say, by the way, we have cheated. So I would be asking them, how are you? Are you okay? Are you free from porn? Yes, I haven't watched for, alhamdulillah, for a week. And by the end of the week, by the way, I watched a couple of times. So why didn't you tell me? You're cheating yourself. You have to be very honest with yourself. You have to be honest with the coach if you are talking to a coach or to your accountability partner or whatever. Number eight, don't be fooled by false quitting. We said this earlier, that sometimes you will quit as a result of being already pleased enough. So don't be fooled by false quitting. Continue with the plan. Number nine, remind yourself of the consequences. And the most important consequence is what? Death. You know, I do something myself on my computer. Not this one. On my computer, I have this sticker called Allah is watching you. Now imagine you're opening your laptop and there is a sticker say Allah is watching you. Okay, www.idontcare.com.
Yeah, this is a tragedy. Yeah, remind yourself that one day you're going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I indicated earlier, he said, Al-mar'u, yub'athul mar'u, I forgot the Arabic, but a man will be resurrected on the day of judgment on the same thing that he used to do in this dunya. The last thing that you did in this dunya, you will be resurrected doing the same thing. So what are the chances? What are the chances? And number 10 is, yeah, learn more about this filthy industry. Raise awareness. How many of you knows the movie that was produced recently against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an offensive movie that caused, you know, a lot of damages in the Muslim world? Anyone have heard about this movie? Yeah? Do you know that the one who made that movie is one of the biggest producers of pornography films in the States? Do you know that? You were not aware. Imagine you're watching that movie and you love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know that this movie is done by the same director who insulted your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Will you really promote that industry? Will you really click okay on any of these websites? Because by the way, any click, every click, and every pop-up websites that comes from this filthy industry, you are actually contributing to their growth. Every click, they are receiving money because of you. So don't pile up sins before you die. Quit quickly before it's too late. Okay, so this is one, I call it the essential 10. They are very, very important on the way of recovery plan. The second one is what? From internet to interkit, I call it. No internet whatsoever for a couple of months. Quit internet for 3-4 months. And guess what? Life will be the same. The trees will be just up there the same way. No, they will not disappear. The birds will be there. Your parents will be there. In fact, you will be more productive. You will do more productive things than just sitting in front of the internet all night. Do something else. Tell someone, I don't want to use internet. No matter what, take my phone, take my Facebook for a couple of months. Wallahi, nothing will happen, yani. In fact, you will become a better person. So this is one of the things that works with many people who are addicted. No internet. Simple. No internet. Run. Eat banana. Do anything. Okay, let me recommend for you. Alhamdulillah, we are right on time. Then after that, we will open the Q&A, inshallah. So resources, here are a couple of books that I found to be very, very important. So this one, The Drug of the New Millennium. This is a complete course, including actually CD. So one of the best book on the subject of recovery. The Marketing of the Evil. This will give you more information about the industry of pornography. Sexual Sabotage is also one of the best thing written on this marketing of porn. And this is about the recovery, treating pornography addiction. So many people who have done research in this subject, they will come up with, you know, their own ideas of how to treat pornography addicts, and they all may work with some people. So these are the books that I found to be very useful. The Power of Habit, it will help you to introduce to yourself new habits and how habit works, how can you shift from one habit to another. One of the best books, you must read it actually. You must read it, this book. The Porn Trap, again, this is about overcoming pornography addiction, and they have like a very nice program in that book. And this book is written by ex porn star Shelley Loban, and this is a warning, I don't want you to go and search her name. Okay? I don't want you to go and search her name or check her website for now. Those who are addicted, don't ever go and watch it. Because I sent her a letter actually, and I advise her to wear properly. She quit porn and she's writing now against porn, but still she's wearing very attractive clothes. So I don't advise you to at all. But this is one of the best books I have read about the industry and exposing the industry of pornography, truth behind the fantasy of porn, written by ex-porn star. Love You, Hate the Porn. This is for wives who have discovered, you know, their husband's behavior on the internet. So it helped them to overcome and how to provide some aid to your husbands. Now, this is one of the websites, Purify Your Gaze. This is done by our brother Ziad Ramadan, is a Muslim.
He has done a great job in this area. I don't agree with him in all what he does, because his programs also are extremely expensive, but he has done good effort, mashallah. But here, another website called pornharms.com, great resources, study, read the books. They offer books free to learn more about this. And also Covenant Eyes. And Covenant Eyes, this is one of the best website that tackles this matter. But I want to make another warning. It's a Christian-based website, so they will also insert messages regarding Jesus is Lord, Jesus Christ love you, and all that thing. So be careful. Take what is good and leave behind the theological understanding of Christianity, because they are Christian-based. But they have one of the best software ever. One of the best software. And that software is that if someone applied, and it's paid. It's paid. You have to pay per month, I think, $30 or something, or $10, I'm not sure exactly. But you have to pay for it. And it's worth paying for it. Because it's not only you, it's not like installing a website that will block you know, all these filthy websites. No, you will have to install it on two computers. Your computer and your accountability partner. So anything that you're doing on your computer, there is a daily report going to your accountability partner. Of course, the accountability partner is not receiving detailed report. Like, you know, your emails, you are sent to this. You have, no. He will the software will send like signals, red. Red means what? He's browsing something wrong. With the time, actual time, and the website. Yeah, they will tell you. If it is red, they will tell you he visited that website. So the accountability partner will rush and try to do his best to help the brother from relapse. So this is one of the very healthy website. And also there is another free software called K9. I didn't include it in the slides. K9. It's free, but its job is only to block the websites from accessing. But you know, if you want to delete it, if you're addicted, you will simply uninstall it. Yeah? The last words is, the addict is not morally a sick person. And this is what we wanted to stress. Anyone who is addicted to porn is not morally sick. He's not a bad person. The problem is that the addict thinks that they are alone in this world. Everyone who's accessing pornography feels that he is alone in this world. So we have to approach them by telling them first that you are not alone. Many people... Can you remove the... brother, can you remove the computer cable for now? Just pull the white thing. Yeah, pull it out. Jazakallah khair. So we have to tell those people who approach us with these compulsive behaviors that, hey, relax. There are millions of people like you, and there is a hope, and there is a solution for that. We don't have to make them feel bad. We don't have to tell them that you're sick. You know, what's wrong with you? You're Muslim, and so on and so forth. Okay, I was trying to rush, actually, because... As I said, there are many, many things to cover. But we'll stop here, inshallah, and see if you have more questions to offer. Bismillah. Can I have some water, please? Jazakallah khair. I haven't actually drank my coffee. Okay, any questions? Bismillah. Yes, sister. No, I didn't understand the first. Okay, let me answer that. Let's say, what is porn? As we said, porn is associated with prostitution is associated with explicit images to cause a person the arousal, the sexual arousal, and as a result, he will go on, you know, pleasuring himself. That's porn. But porn is not... is not necessarily explicit images. Everyone has his own fantasy world in his brain. So some people like this kind of, you know, girl wearing this fashion, this clothes. This could be his porn. This could be his way to enter into actually an actual zina. But the one that we know generally is explicit images of people having sexual intimacy. That's porn. Yes.
What about, for example, people that are working in medical field? So they are
working in?
Medical
medical field. Okay.
Looking at people, you mean nakedness? Doctors, you mean? No, I mean, these things are different things, sisters, because the main purpose of pornography is the arousal. They want you to reach to that excitement, enticement of the sexual arousement so that you can act after that. You can act, you may act in different ways. You may act by pleasuring yourself. You may act by going out for, committing zina, wal-ayadu billah, or you may act by paying to get more. And there are some people who go by their credit cards and buy. But in the medical field, although you are exposed to some people who may show the nakedness for one purpose or another, all the doctors or all the students would be actually looking at these things for educational reasons or for saving people's life. So you don't have this arousal, sexual, compulsion in your brain at that time. So it's absolutely fine. Yes, sister. You're after.
For the pure kid, right? You didn't do something for a gender. Would you recommend a different approach for a girl and
Yes, as I said earlier, the curing tips that I'm giving are general. They are very important, very helpful to so many, but they may not work with everyone. So no, I would not recommend a different kit for sisters, different kits for brothers. Rather, the sister or the brother might talk to me. They have to talk to me. I normally send a list of questions because I wanted to identify your level of addiction. Based on this, I can recommend some tips. And in most cases, and I forgot to mention my email. Actually, I left it in the beginning. But here I'm repeating my email for those who wish to get in touch with me for any reason. Wael, W-A-E-L, dot Ibrahim, I-B-R-A-H-I-M, 09@yahoo.com. So this is my email address. Can approach me for the presentation itself, for general questions regarding the topic or otherwise, or for coaching. If you feel that you have some issues regarding this area, you can also contact me, inshallah. Any other questions? Are you guys coming to the conference? Only one person say yes. We should not leave them to go from here without buying the ticket. Only one person say yes. Guys, the conference, yani, mashallah, big lineup, Mufti Ming. Don't come for me. Come for Mufti Ming, Dr. Bilal Phillips, Sheikh Hosseini, Sheikh Omar al-Banna, mashallah. Sheikh, you will be there? Takbir. Yes, sister.
Also add that if you buy the tickets tonight, you'll get a special prize, $145.
Another takbir. So the tickets available at cheaper price, mashallah. Okay. Any other questions, Sheikh?
What are the consequences religion-wise for a person who is addicted to porn? Can you elaborate on that one?
Religious consequences. Right. Yeah, as I said, I mentioned one consequences, religiously speaking. First of all, we said that it's haram, right? It's absolutely haram. What you're watching people who are not related to you, this is not your wife, this is not your husband that you're looking at, so it's haram by the Islamic religion. But what are the consequences, the Shaykh is asking now? Number one, I said you might die on that state. And if you died on that state, you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon that state. So it's either you wanted to die reading the Quran, doing salah, doing da'wah, engaging in Islamic studies, or you may wanted to die while in that very filthy position. Imagine yourself rising up on the day of judgment doing porn, wal-a'adhu billah. How would you explain to Allah? What would you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would not tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the way, I'm addicted. I was out of control. And that is actually a requirement. It is required from us to control our anger, right? If you while you're angry, you start reacting and you start shouting or maybe slapped your wife, will you tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sorry because I was angry? Sorry, don't punish me, I was angry. No, that's not an excuse. So the same thing, you would not tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sorry, I was addicted. How did you reach to that level in the first place? So these are what I can touch on. But my expertise is not also the religious consequences. I'm trying to present the scientific facts behind the matter and try to add some Islamic touches here and there. Please, if you have any addition, I would be very happy to hear, Sheikh. You want to add? Please. Yeah, but religious-wise, this is what I can. What I always mention is the result if you die doing this, because we have no guarantee when we will die and on upon which state. And that's why the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say, "Ya muthabbit al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik." Oh Allah, who strengthen the hearts, strengthen my heart upon this deen, upon this religion. Don't ever die doing an act of a disbeliever. Those people who are producing these movies mostly have no religion. They have lost faith. They are on drugs. They are living a filthy life. They are not happy. And you are encouraging them by actually watching the production. Yeah? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Ameen. Go ahead.
What's your advice to husbands and wives that make a call for their own conception?
My advice? I think what we have said already is enough. Husband and wife who make porn for their own consumption. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Again, I will say, supposedly you died. Not while doing the movie with your wife. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And you died. All of us are going to die. And these tapes were found later on. That will be your sunnah. That will be your sunnah that you left on earth. Me and my wife enjoying ourselves. So come on, yani. It's not haram, by the way, if you record yourself with your wife and then you delete it, yeah? But if you left it to the people, to the public, to see your wife's nakedness after your demise, that's a disaster. So do not ever think about it. Be very, very careful. Yes, sister?
Yes.
Pornography addiction usually begins with simple curiosity, especially in young children and teenagers. So do you have any advice on how to guide this curiosity?
How to guide what, sorry? The curiosity of the children. No, it depends on the age, sister. Like if you're talking to a 3 years old boy or 4 years old boy, you don't open this subject. All what you need to prevent is not to open TV. Finished. You know, I have... No, wallahi, believe me, no. We have an example of Sheikh Dawood Butt, for example, and his kids. They don't watch TV. And one day Marwa, his daughter, mashallah, was with us in the hotel, and there was a huge TV. Yes, she was attracted to the glamorous world of TV, but for a few seconds and after that, she left. They have different activities that fills this gap. And so that's what we need to introduce to our kids. Introduce to them alternative. You do not be the source of introducing these movies to your kids. Otherwise, you will have no control over them when they reach to a certain level of age. You have no control anymore. And even if you prevent them, they will say, okay, but the outside they will go and watch. But from day one, if you have actually warned them from these, you know, movies and cartoons and all that, they will follow, believe me.
I'm a teacher, and there's one day I saw this famous novel.
Famous?
Pretty Shade of Grey on my student table.
You saw what, sorry? Come again?
50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.
So, I mean, majority of the students in my school is non-Muslim. I think they're kind of okay with it. Some teachers are okay with it as well, because they think that this is like reading material.
No.
As a teacher, a Muslim teacher, and this kid is a Muslim teacher, as a girl. What do you think as a teacher? What can I do to give this?
They read it like with the permission of the school, or?
I mean, like it's just on the table.
You remember I said that we have to raise awareness. I gave the same advice in Pakistan before coming to the teachers who are also attending, and I mentioned briefly on pornography, and I said that you have. What do you teach? Maths, okay, so that's what you teach, right? One class, you have to teach something else. And if you are given 12 sessions per term, for example, to teach, make them 13. And one session, you go out of this maths world and teach them something beneficial that will benefit them outside the world. And one of them is to raise awareness against pornography. And to mention the dangers of reading this book. Because that book is the beginning. It's reading now. This is a story. It's not intense. You know, like images and graphics and all that. So this will take them to the real movie. Now the real movie is in the cinema now. right? And after that, they would go for the real one. No, they want to see more. They want to see more. So you as a teacher, as an educator, although you're given salary to teach maths, but you have another responsibility to raise healthy children who would be excellent mathematicians, but at the same time, morally also excellent. So you have to insert some of these advices in the and I don't think that history class should be always about history. You have to go out of history a little bit and tell them something morally. I was talking to Dr. Bilal Phillips in Pakistan, and he always say, and I believe he repeated it here, I believe that moral lessons must be inserted in our classes, in every class. Moral lessons. How can we behave outside? How can we be truthful to our, you know, parents, to our loved ones, to our neighbors? How can we be loyal? How can we be, you know, generous and so on and so forth? And avoidance of these things are necessary for producing a healthy nation. Otherwise, we don't have hope, Allah. No matter what grades they will score, or it doesn't matter if they are morally sick. Yeah. So try this tip and report to me. If you don't mind, and try to talk to people, to advise them outside. They will love that class. In fact, they will love it more than any other math class, because it's not about math. No, but you will break the ice a bit. One day you will enter and say, guys, today I don't want to talk about maths. Let's break the ice. Let's talk about something else. And I want to talk to you about the danger of this and that. Wallahi, they will be interested. And at the same time, one at least, or two people will practice what you said, at least in a class. Any other questions, inshallah? Take one sister and then the brother, yes.
So let's say you fight someone with in the community. But then, this was a while back, and it was just so awkward, you kind of pretended that you never saw anything, you know, and just brushed it off. And it's been a long time since then. How do you reopen the discussion? Like, how do you start the conversation? It's so awkward. How do you make it
more
awkward?
By talking generally about the subject. Talking generally about the subject. Like here, I'm talking generally to you, right? I didn't ask, by the way, how many addicts are here? Raise up your hand. So I'm talking generally. I said in the beginning, just because you have attended the class doesn't mean that you are all addicted. But we cannot fool ourselves by saying that all of you are good. All of you are free from porn. You understand what I mean? But I'm talking, and everyone feels, everyone knows what he's doing. So sometimes you can go today or tonight or tomorrow and say that I have attended a workshop or a 2 hours program on pornography addiction, and I learned a lot. Shall I share with you? I learned this, I learned that. It will hit that person indirectly, and it might do a great job. And it might also open the curiosity of that person by telling you, you know what, I want to entrust you with a secret. I have a problem. And that would be the beginning. 50% of the cure is to tell someone. 50% of getting rid of your addiction is to actually take it off your chest and tell somebody. That would be the beginning of the cure. So indirect approach in the beginning, and then slowly, slowly it will open.
Sure.
Since it's like a very, very worldwide problem, did you try to cooperate with the government institution in order to, like, let's say, like, governments?
Yeah.
It seems, like a bit like, it's a big problem, and at the same time, maybe, your power in curing the society would be, weak or something.
I understand.
So did you, try to cooperate with
them? I haven't yet, because I haven't finished my workbook. I don't know if you came when I said in the beginning that I'm so I'm writing now a workbook, an exercise book for those who are addicts, those who are actually addicted to porn. And I'm building up a website called Pure Minds. That's why I said, if you want to share any of the information, you hashtag Pure Minds and tag me and tag other friends to spread the word around. So the point is, no, I don't have that big proposal to go to the government and tell them, please help me out. I don't have that yet. But my plan is to create teams in every city I go. So wherever I go and deliver this workshop, and I'm talking about the workshop, not the 2 hours program, because the whole day workshop is more creative, and we'll sit together in groups, and we'll plan, and we'll hear each other's opinion and so on and so forth. And after the workshop, I select team for that particular city,
So for Kuala Lumpur, pornography team with this will be so and so and so and so, so that we can spread the word, go and raise awareness in the university, send proposals and so on and so forth. Alone, I cannot do everything. I received hundreds of emails regarding this. Many people asking for my help regarding this. And I cannot reply each and every one by myself. So if I created teams in every city, inshallah, and I train them on how to coach, coaching tips and all that, then at least we can together, you know, help those people who are addicted. And only then we can reach, when we create noise, the government will come to us. When we create noise, big companies will come and ask for our help. So far, I'm not yet at that level.
What I mean is now, like, everything that's become official to be like more effective.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you. So I'm now in the planning of creating teams first, and then the website will be professionally done, inshallah. The workbook will be published, and it will be published here, by the way, inshallah. So after this step, I think we can take it to a next level. So hopefully once you hear anything, you will be the first one to sign in and help me out. Yeah? Any other questions, inshallah? Sheikh. I love your style.
What advice would you give a father who's being approached by a 7-year-old kid asking about sex?
Talk to him. Talk to him, but in a language that a 7-year-old can understand. I mean, I don't believe that a 7-year-old, like my son is 7 years old, he would never mention the word sex. He would never mention that word. I don't imagine my son would come and talk to me about sex. 7-year-old boy cannot talk about this. But if he approached, like, normally the question, the most common question that kids ask, like, how did I came to this world? How? So you cannot tell him, you know, from the sugar. You know, this joke, like, no, you will tell him, there is a process, my mother and your mother and me came together and you became the result. You will talk to him in a very, very, you know, appropriate language that he can grasp. But you cannot go in sex. You know, you cannot. You cannot introduce these terms now. Any other questions, inshallah? Are we done?
I have a question.
Yeah.
You mentioned about sugar, right?
Yes.
And I think in a societal level, it's not really possible for us to avoid all these sugars, especially living in a very multicultural country. So how do we go about that? How do we at least... not physically, how do we internally block the trigger?
Very, very interesting question. The brother say about triggers, that it's difficult to block these triggers, especially we are living in a multicultural place like Malaysia, like Hong Kong. So it's very difficult. I found it very difficult and hard for myself in Hong Kong, living in a very, very noisy city and people are not practicing Islam and all that. So how can we keep going now? Number one is to stick to the jama'ah, stick to the congregation, stick to the good company. That's very important. You go to the masjid, you go to the masjid together. You pray together. You talk together about the stuff, about this problem. You know, the WhatsApp group, have you seen that slide which says WhatsApp group? Actually, this WhatsApp group is, during the workshop, I will divide the teams into small groups and I will ask them to exchange numbers. Why? To remind each other of these points. To keep each other reminded. We need reminders. So all these things, even if you see a trigger, even if you see a trigger and you were planning to do something evil, you will find in 5 minutes, in 1 hour, in 1 day, a brother is sending you a reminder. This is just, you know, it's not religious advice what I'm giving you now. These are just practical tips that we can apply in our lives if we really stick to the jama'ah, if we really try to protect ourselves genuinely. These triggers will not affect us at all. Ciao.
Yes.
Earlier on you talked about a story about the Prophet and the guy who wanted to commit adultery. Where can I find that story?
He's challenging me now. No. There is a hadith, a narration where the man came and asked the Prophet ﷺ, allow me to commit adultery. So where is the source? You have to email me. You email me, I'll get you the source. I don't have the source at the moment. Sheikh, do you know where is this? It's an authentic, I know, but where is the source? Do you remember? No, we don't remember the source. Okay, any other questions, inshallah? By the way, in my lecture in the conference, I will talk about stories of change.
stories of change. I will talk about the concept of change itself. How can we make a change in our life, a positive change? And then I will move by discussing a story of one of the scholars who was a very bad man, and all of a sudden he became a religious scholar. And then I will end up my talk by actually relating my own story. How a musician, a singer like me, and his Catholic wife became what we are now. I'm not relating this story for any personal thing, but rather to remind those who may have been, infected with the disease of music, I call it, and still listening to music and thinking to do something about it. Listen to my story. You will get a lot of lessons, inshallah. You will see how music was leading me to drugs, how music was leading me to Christianity. And as a result, I was lost, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me and my wife to Islam, alhamdulillah. So it's going to be very, very interesting, and I believe there are many, many speakers who have a lot of motivational topics at this conference. So don't miss that conference, guys. Anytime there is a conference where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's teaching is being distributed, you be the first to attend it, wallah. You are in a Muslim country, you shouldn't miss these opportunities. If it is expensive, I believe I heard that the Daily Reminder is offering scholarship or something of that sort, and here is a discount in this workshop. Yeah, and do your best. Talk to the people and try to attend this gathering. One gathering where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is being mentioned, the angels descend, make prayer for you, and by the end of the meeting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أُشْهِدُكُمْ يَا مَلَائِكَتِي أَنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُمْ. I bear witness to you, my angel, that I have forgiven them all. So seek this opportunity, inshallah, and be forgiven. May Allah bless you. If there's no more questions, we'll end the session, inshallah. Any other questions? Huh? Okay. After, inshallah, we end up, I will be staying here for about 15 minutes. 15 minutes, inshallah. Anyone wanted to approach me like one-on-one for any questions, for any advice, personal issues, I will be here available for 15 minutes, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan. It was an honor. And I hope next time we'll come with the full program. Young youth project. Come on. Don't bring me for 2 hours program about this. This is not good. So inshallah next time we spend more time and we do it properly, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.